Hi, everybody.
Hey.
My name's The Black Link. That's Fallout Plays. That's Story Mephorshine. And we're here to bring you guys episode 121 of the Planet Destiny podcast, the one where you whip out your clipboard and all, you know, your Tumblr blog. Dear Tumblr, today, but Destiny 2, 30 FPS. Unbelievable.
And it,
unbelievable. Pre-order canceled.
Close the podcast. Everyone's going to take a moment in silence to press F. To pay respects.
F now.
There you go. It's the, we can't do the full 2 minutes, and it's no one died, so it's good.
Not yet.
Only our hopes and dreams, right?
What did you guys think and feel as soon as that information was 100% official?
You know, sad. Like, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I'm always gonna give people in the business a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, because I'm not a techie. I have never worked in the video game industry. I always will preface the argument with, you know what I mean? Like, never worked in the industry. I don't know how it works. So I'm not gonna criticize too much, when I don't know how it works. But am I obviously upset that it's not going to be 60 FPS when, like, everybody and their mother was at home crossing their fingers like, oh, it's totally going to happen, man. The 60 FPS is going to be so sweet. And then
we thought that too.
We thought it. Yeah, we were talking here. I remember a story very clearly being like, yeah, it's basically mandatory that it's going to need to be 60 FPS in some capacity. And console, no go.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're definitely bummed. And I mean, so here we are. Episode 121, and last week, you know, me, Bonesy, and Mega came back from LA. We were riding that hype wave. We were, like, right at the top, baby, front of the hype train, screaming all aboard. And, you know, we don't want to sound like too much of shills, as it were. You know, you have a whole podcast talking about the positives, all the amazing things coming down the pipe for D2, but it's not all sunshine and rainbows and lollipops, is it, boys?
No,
I mean, and it can't be. It can't be. Yeah, there's never going to be a time in which a game or really anything you like is 100% perfect with you. And we made that discussion really before we went live last week, that we said, okay, we want to talk about all the good stuff this week, and we'll get to the criticisms and the stuff that we're disappointed or worried about next week. It's now next week, and while we're not going to sit here, we're not going to harp on the game. You guys played Destiny 2.
Yeah.
You obviously loved your experience with it, and we're all super excited for it. But I think it is fair to talk about some of the things that that we are a bit worried about. And 30 FPS for console it's not a game breaker. I guess we should preface it with that. The game, you've played Destiny 1. Destiny 1's 30 FPS. Destiny 1 is a fantastic game. It plays great. It just means that Destiny 2 on console on PS4, and I think they confirmed same for Scorpio, I want to say. Or maybe they didn't. Who knows? I think they just said
they
console.
They didn't, but it will be.
Yeah,
it probably will.
I think Mark Noseworthy said, we're not going to talk about Scorpio because I think there's very little solid.
There's no way. Because Bungie would have an unlimited amount of egg on their face if it was like the. Because they're partnered with Sony.
Sony.
You know what I mean? So they can't be like, the best experience for Destiny 2 was on PlayStation 4. Oh, but by the way, Scorpio 60 FPS. They were like, are you joking me right now? Like, no, it's not gonna happen. It's 30 FPS across
parity.
The board confirmed.
They would want to keep that parity between the consoles, because I'd imagine that with Sony probably on their own would probably have an issue with that, providing a gameplay experience change on Xbox that's that drastic. But like I was saying, for the console players who are used to Destiny 1, it's gonna feel like Destiny 1, which is a good thing, because Destiny 1 is a great feeling game. But then the other point there, of course, is for an action game, for an FPS, for a 3D game like this, a 60 FPS frame rate is an objectively better experience.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line of it. It provides an objectively better experience. And thankfully, I mean, I'm glad that PC is going to be able to enjoy that, because I am a PC player.
Mm-hmm. There's another option. I mean, at least there is another option for the folks that are
That's true.
Like incredibly upset about the lack of a dare we say, a modern frame rate for a game. You know,
yes, I think I would say
27.
Yeah, maybe. Like, on the issue of 30 FPS, there was a really good video released by a YouTube channel called The Digital Foundry. I don't know if you guys watched this, but this was a very informative and very neutral video that was neither condemning or trying to overhype the situation. And it discussed a bunch of different PlayStation 4 titles as well as PlayStation 4 Pro games and their performances and what kind of FPS we have there, and then discussing the limitations on those consoles themselves. And it does appear that it's not just as cut and dry of, oh, Bungie went for 4K over 30 FPS, which is a very common knee-jerk reaction. Like, why have they prioritized 4K instead of a faster frame rate? And that, it really does not look like that is a fact at all. It does look like a more of a hardware limitation for their game itself.
Yep. That's what it is.
So, like, I mean, I originally was in that ballpark, but oh well, 4K must have been prioritized over 60 FPS, but not the case.
So, Story, I'm going to jump in here, and first of all, I'm going to say I watch everything that you link me. So, I absolutely did watch that video, and it was a great watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good stuff. I mean, sorry about that. I'm going to try and break down the situation into a layman's
do it
sort of thing, because I'm bad with technical stuff. I'm bad. Okay. Never built a computer before, although I am working on it. More updates on that later. But the argument is like, oh, they went for 4K. No, it's not what they went for. It's the hardware available to them. And if I'm understanding the video that you linked me to correctly, it's that the GPU on the PS4 Pro was able to easily handle 4K.
Correct.
But for the CPU power of the PS4, not that impressive. Can't handle the higher frame rate. So it's not like they made the decision, like 60 FPS, and like, no, fuck that. You know, it's just what is available to them from the power of the PS4 Pro. And again, the GPU, thumbs up. The CPU, thumbs down. Yeah. That's kind of my understanding of the situation.
Yeah. And it's not just it's like an easy cut and dry, oh, 4K or 60 FPS.
Right, right.
You know, it doesn't seem like that's the choice on offer, you know.
So what you're describing there, basically what's happening is there's a CPU bottleneck on the PlayStation 4, which for layman terms is just that there's too many things being processed in Destiny right now for the PS4 or the PS4 Pro CPU to be able to process. A bottleneck is basically a situation where there's too many demands on a physical CPU and it degrades your overall system performance. It's trying to do too many things at once and it doesn't have enough processing power to handle it. And that's ultimately the case of what's going on, at least with the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro. I think Luke Smith came out and had an interview where he basically stated as much. He said, the PS4, PS4 Pro, its GPU is more than powerful enough to handle things, but where we're running into issues is with the world rendering, the physics, the particle effects, and all of that stuff taxing the CPU too much. And ultimately, they just couldn't get it to run at 60, and 30 was, I guess, the best they could get it running at.
Yeah.
So it sucks. It does. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it's not like it's a deal breaker. It's not a deal breaker at all for Destiny 2 that it's going to be running at 30 FPS.
Yeah, Destiny 1's been insanely popular, and we've all put up with it for, you know.
Most popular console game on Twitch, apparently.
Yeah.
By minutes
watched. Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
And another thing that video covered, the Digital Foundry video, is that a lot of the games that have been marketed as 60 FPS games aren't actually 60 FPS games. That was a shock to me. Like, I forget the title of it now, but it actually ran at 45 FPS and not 60 FPS.
I think they showed,
FPS.
Like, The Last of Us, Battlefield 1 drops to, like, the low 50s and the low 40s on normal PS4 and stuff like that.
So
they can hit 60, but it's hard to maintain.
It's not a constant 60, depending on what goes on in the world.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between Battlefield 1 for PlayStation and PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah.
You know, there was a big difference, and that was one of the gripes that a lot of players were having on PlayStation 4, is they felt like they were losing out on gunfights with people that had PS4 Pros because they had a slightly higher frame rate. And I was like, wow.
Better response time.
No wonder. There was some of the feedback that we've had over the last week or so has been that, why don't we have PvE at 30fps and PvP at 60fps? And it's like, whoa. For me, anyway, there was a lot of, because there was a few games that do that. I've never played them because I'm one of those people. Maybe it's because I'm old and I've got buggered eyes, but like I cannot play a 60fps game and then switch to 30fps and it be sunbeam and rainbows. It takes me ages.
Oh, it's terrible
to get used to it. It's really jarring for me. Yeah, so that's why I stuck. You know, playing Destiny exclusively is not just because of that, because I liked it and I wanted to carry on playing it. But it was always a big thing. Like I played a bit of Titanfall 2 campaign and then switched over, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is horrible. I want to be able to play Destiny without grimacing and having a headache.
You want to hear a funny story real quick?
Yeah. Go
maybe
for it.
Funny in quotation marks. You know, long ago, like, everybody learns about frame rate a different way. I think that today's youth is, like, more educated and informed on gaming, you know, technical terms and all that kind of stuff. But, like, way back when, I can't remember what game it was. I think I switched off of Halo 3, and I played my first or second ever, I can't remember, Call of Duty. Can't remember which one it was. But it just ran really smooth, and it was great. And my friend and I were enjoying it, and we were like, yeah, you know what? After like 2 months, we were like, why don't we go back and play a little Halo today? Let's play a little Halo. And we went back on Halo 3, and we were like, what the fuck
What's
is happening?
On?
Like, is it lagging? Like, I think it's lagging. Like, don't think it's lagging. We're like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then we looked online, and we were like, dude, it's like the frame rate. It's like, it's just bad. Yeah. And you talk to each other, and you're like, has Halo always been like this? Like, is this every time we've played Halo, it's been like this? Like, I couldn't compute it in my brain, like going from one to the other. It was just unbelievable. It's weird.
Like the fish scales falling from your eyes and seeing the world as it truly is.
Yeah. I think the bottom line with the whole frame rate debacle, if we want to call it that, the whole thing.
We want to call it that.
That I think... I mean, disappointment, I think that's completely justified. That, you know, it will be, Destiny 2 will be the one of the only shooter games out there that is still on 30fps, and we won't ignore that. I mean, that's a bummer. But I think bottom line is there is an alternative for those that, I don't want to say refuse to accept the fact that it's FPS. The fact is there is an alternate option. For someone who is interested in playing the game at a more modern frame rate, there is an actual alternative. It's not like we're completely, you know, devoid of any kind of alternate route.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the PC version of it, which has been another bone of contention, I guess, for a lot of console players out there. And I completely understand this as well, because I've been exclusively a console player for 3 years from being an exclusive PC player for, you know, decades. So, yeah, I can understand people's frustration and the disappointment there, but it's not like some kind of purposeful plan of Bungie's to, like, basically defecate on their fans or anything like that. Bad decision, maybe? You know, like, a bad turnout for what would maybe have been, like, a forced decision on there? You know, just a bad turnout for them? So, you know, I don't think it's good to, like, hype 30fps, but I think,
no.
You know, like, you can't do that. But at the same time, Destiny 2 is still going to be an awesome game. It's still
amazing,
going to be the social looter shooter that we've all made friends, developed communities, had amazing experiences with over the last 3 years, and are still continuing to do it right now. You know, like, bummer 30fps on consoles really is, but never mind. You know, there is actually
not a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's an alternate route, which brings us to, you know, the PC version, which is another big area, because there's a lot of console players now going, I want to play on 60. What's all this about building PCs and, like,
is
it going to be worth the jump? Am I going to you know, have to spend thousands of dollars on a PC rig just to be able to afford this alternate option. Which, you know, this it's great that you're in that precise situation at the moment, Fallout, as well. You're I've seen your tweets. You are very, very seriously entertaining the idea of making building a PC specifically to play D2 on it.
Specifically to make YouTube content and stream, but in case I also want to see the beauty of a perfected D2.
Enjoy.
Maybe. It might interest you maybe to buy Destiny 2 on PC. Who knows? It's up in the air right now.
I got a question for you, though. Do you feel forced in the situation to go PC if you're interested in... Because obviously you are a competitive PvP player. Yeah. Do you feel forced to do that? Or is it like...
I have no idea. I mean, I've been thinking about that a lot. It all depends on where the community is going to go for the competitive side. You know what I mean? But there could be a competitive side for both PC and console. Mm-hmm. Possible. I mean, some games like Halo, you're able to play on PC, and yet the competitive scene is just on console. That's where it is.
Yeah. It is.
But I guess time will tell.
I mean, of the three of us here, you're the one who actually got your hands on the PC version of Destiny 2. And if I recall your review from last week, that thing was crispy.
God, it was so good.
Yeah. So, I mean, did it feel like something that could become comfortable for you? Like you could get into the because I'm assuming they didn't let you play with controller there. They just let you play with mouse and keyboard.
No, I
although
with
controller support has been confirmed by the devs on Twitter that you're going to be able to plug your controller into your PC and you should have a very similar, if not precisely the same experience as you would do if you were playing on console with your controller.
Cool.
Which I'm quite pleased about. I think that's
like
definitely going to aid the transition.
Doesn't it feel kind of weird, though, to like get a PC, be like, oh, good, now I can play D2 on the PC. Now time to plug in my controller or something
no,
like that.
No, people do that
it's
anyway. I mean,
people do it all the time.
It's strange to me. I know people do it. It's odd.
There's an area of worry and concern, and that comes to aim assist, but we'll come to that in a moment. Like when I got onto making cinematics on PC for games like Battlefield 3 and things like that, like if you want to do smooth camera movements while you're in spectator mode, you can't do that on a keyboard. You can do smooth movements with a mouse, but like WSAD controlling your movement, you have to do that on a controller, and you have much more nuances on a controller. So, and for example, flight. If you like playing, lots of Battlefield players had their controller on standby. If they hopped in a helicopter, they would use
that
their.
Was me.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like,
that's interesting to me.
There was a lot. Mouse and keyboard support for vehicles was faultless with Battlefield. Mm-hmm. You could play helicopter gameplay, plane gameplay, the whole lot with a keyboard, and it was great. But the controller stuff, it felt cool to play with a controller. So
maybe I'll try it.
Yeah, do it up. But mouse and keys. I would urge anyone to get familiar with it, because that's the big thing. If you're a controller like user as your primary roots, mouse and keys is going to feel really foreign and alien and clunky and weird and
it's
overly complicated.
Super weird.
I got effed up in PvP, man. I went on that PC PvP. I was like, it's beautiful, as I was getting like punched in the face over and over.
Because
with a mouse cord wrapped around your head and a keyboard in your mouth, it's beautiful.
What is this for? But because it's a difference jumping from gamepad over to mouse and keyboard, where it's like suddenly you don't need to worry about non-precision shots because everything is a precision shot. it'll definitely be an interesting experience. I think the one big worry there would be for gamepad players who do opt to take that option. How would aim assist work? Because usually aim assist is disabled on PC games because it specifically screws up mouse and keyboard aiming. I'd imagine they would have to hard code for that.
Well, there's three things that negatively impact mouse aim, and this is one of the things that fuels a lot of the misinformation and misconceptions of playing with a Zim for Destiny right now, and that you have smoothing, acceleration, and aim assist. Those three things... Yeah. Negatively impact mouse aim. It makes it a lot more awkward. It's like basically controller aim, but with a mouse. So you have your muscle memory, your DPI, your sensitivities, they won't react in the same way as direct input for PC games as such. So here's the area that is a bit grey. I saw Dr. Lupo and some of the devs chatting about this. There was a huge Twitter thread on this because this was a huge problem in Overwatch for the first month. And that is
you're right.
Because there's full controller support, you could plug, as soon as you plug your controller in, you have a whole bunch of options in the menu settings, and aim assist is obviously one of them. Mm-hmm. However, you could bypass that and plug in a Zim with a controller into a PC and get the aim assist, just the aim assist. No smoothing, no acceleration, just aim assist on a mouse. So that means you could be a lot more loose with a mouse. Like, you actually had the part that actually makes it a bit more, well, considerably more overpowered.
Sticky,
than
maybe? Like,
yeah. So you'd get a lot more headshots, and you would have to aim, your aim would have to be far less true. And that was a big problem for the competitive scene. And it was disabled, that they prevented it. I don't know the full details, but it was prevented and they moved on. But it caused a huge problem. So at least that Bungie have that as a frame of reference to avoid, you know, for the more serious situations for Destiny PvP on PC. I'm looking forward to direct input more than anything else in the world. The last thing I want
Bring
is
back.
Aim assist. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to none of that. But back to the original topic there about coming to PC, being a controller user, and feeling a bit down in the dumps about mouse and keys. There's a whole bunch of stuff. The first thing I'd like to say to you guys that are worried about that is, don't worry, you've got thousands of hours of PvE to break you in on familiarizing yourself with mouse and keyboard setups. And that's all it is becoming familiar with it. At first, you know, it's alien. I mean, I don't know if you remember the first time you ever picked up a controller. I guarantee a lot of you were doing stuff like this. You're moving around with your controller, and then, you know, as you become more of a veteran, you just sit there, mouth breathing, and, you know, you don't move an inch, you don't react, you're just MLG pro.
It just becomes part of you.
Yeah, man. So it's just familiarity. Yeah,
don't worry.
Don't stress about it. It will get there, but having good peripherals, having a good understanding of all the customizations and stuff like that that are available to you as well. And I think one of the biggest mistakes that a lot of folks make when moving to mouse and keys is having a sensitivity which is way too high.
Yes.
That's like the biggest mistake, because if you tune into any pro CSGO players' YouTubes, and if they're most likely they will have a setup video on how they set up their DPIs and all the external software. There's like something like the Mark C mouse fix, which will make sure that your PC is disabling all acceleration, all aim assists, and all smoothing for that particular game, because that's first port of call for any serious or competitive players with mouse and keys. But having a really high sensitivity means that the slightest movement on your mouse means very big movements on screen, and it's very hard to keep your aim on track when your sensitivity is too high. It's better for the hip firing, it's better for movement, because you can do a 180 in like a millisecond and turn around on someone. But the general consensus is that when you lower your sensitivity and get used to that, your KD goes up and you win gunfights on a bigger scale. So that's something to be conscious of, especially if you're practicing with PC games at the moment, or if you're just jumping on board the whole PC wagon at the moment. Is search for some guides out there on Google, like mouse sensitivity, pro CSGO mouse sensitivity, whatever. There's hundreds of videos that will urge you towards a far lower sensitivity and a much bigger mouse mat. You know, a pro has a mouse mat. It's like a tablecloth. You know, and they have big movements on their hands, and you get much more precision. So I've been talking for too long, but that's what I wanted to say about folks like that, and go and look at that kind of stuff to help with your aim.
Good stuff. Well, there's another big topic of discussion on the docket today that we have yet to get to, which is dedicated servers.
I knew it.
Oh, yeah.
Is another sore area.
This is the podcast where we talk about the downside stuff. So how can we not talk about this? Although, it's weird. I mean, the community has been up in arms ever since they were like, are there dedicated servers? No. And then the This Week at Bungie comes out 3 days ago. It's like, are there dedicated servers? And they're like,
kinda.
We don't like to use the words dedicated servers. Like, yeah. Will you just tell us what the hell you're running D2 on? Just tell us already, all right? So what do we make of this? I mean, basically, if you haven't read the This Week at Bungie, go look it up. Because they're basically telling us that it's kind of a hybrid. Hybrid is kind of the key buzzword floating around. It's still peer-to-peer, kind of.
Kind of.
But also, more things are running on the Bungie servers.
Mm-hmm. We have a hybrid system right now. There's a lot of people don't actually know this.
It's the same system as right now.
Yeah. It's.
But they did say it was going to be a little bit different from how it works.
I've got no doubt that they've improved upon their current recipe. They must have done that, I think.
Must have.
We'd hope. But so this was their interview they had with the, I think he was the engineering lead on Destiny 2, Matt Seeger. Mm. And he talked a bit about how Destiny has always kind of had sort of a mix of dedicated servers there at Bungie that handled stuff like mission data and stuff like that. And then a peer-to-peer connection for really everything else in Destiny 1, including the kind of physical world state. That was tied to a person's peer-to-peer connection. So if you've ever been like in a raid or a strike where the host is really, really laggy and like you shoot an explosive box and 2 minutes later it explodes, that's because the host is laggy. If I'm understanding what the interview showed right, what they're changing is a few things with that. They're expanding their servers, they're building their infrastructure a little bit, but they're changing it so that the physical host, the world space is no longer going to be tied to a P2P system. That's going to be hosted on Bungie servers. So what's happening on your friend's screen should be with the world, should be happening on your screen, should be happening on whoever else is with you screen, which is good because it was a bad time when you had a laggy host in charge of the physical world space. And that could cause all kinds of issues with like enemy spawns and just weird stuff happening all over the place. Other than that, hold on, let me pull it up.
Yeah.
Bring that up. Bring it up right now.
I don't really think there were too many other changes. Like, there we go. They talked a bit about how Destiny servers work right now.
Sure.
With your mission host and the physics host. And the mission host is like the data for what you're doing right now. So the scripts and stuff for the mission that you're in, that's hosted on Bungie servers right now. But the physics host, everything that's happening in the physical game was
on the player. Right.
Yep. Yeah.
And now the physics host.
Yeah, you could see all this on a packet sniffer. If you were using packet sniffers to determine matchmaking, a good friend of mine was doing some research on the way that Destiny matchmaking works, and there was always a Bungie server involved in the general matchmaking itself, and there was obviously information stored on that server. It just the connections from player to player was all peer to peer, and again, these Bungie servers were all located in the US apparently as well. So
now it's basically that physics that physics data is now going to be coming directly from their servers as well, which is good. It looks like basically the only thing that really is going to be tied to your character is everything that has or tied to a peer-to-peer connection is everything that has to do with your character. Where you're standing in the physical world, what you're doing at that time, what you've got on, when you shoot, where you're shooting at, stuff like that. So it should make kind of a difference, mostly in PvE. Not sure how much of a difference it's going to make in PvP.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to play it. This is the thing. Like, there's a lot of people that really want to shoot down the statement that Bungie made. I mean, it's vague. I think that really didn't help with the controversy and people's general kind of comfort and things like that. It's vague. But then again, how much information can they really divulge? Because this is obviously what Bones would say. This is the secret sauce.
Exactly.
You know, you can't talk too much about your, you know, inner
herbs
workings.
And spices.
Yeah, man. So this is, for me, I'm going to have to play this. and see, you know, whether... Yeah. Because as it stands at the moment, I've had some amazing games on peer-to-peer in Destiny 1. And I still get them from time to time as well. They just doesn't... It doesn't happen as often as I'd like. And yeah. I think I've voiced my opinion on this before. I don't blame the peer-to-peer system as at the root of this. I blame it on matchmaking, crutching way too hard on skill-based matchmaking over connection quality. And this is, again, Bungie have made the statement that they are going to be focused on a smooth, you know, a more connection-based experience this time around. They understand that, you know, lag-induced deaths and all that kind of stuff is frustrating.
Yeah. Timeout.
Flashing the timeout symbol. Yeah. You know, I like that we have the ability, especially story. I think story is very good at this, at the, having the ability to look at both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because we love Bungie and we love Destiny. We love everything about it. That being said, it's very important to bring up potential criticisms, shove them into the spotlight. And when I was reading This Week at Bungie, which I read like multiple times.
Yeah.
And there was one part, where can I find it? Here we go. Matt was like, here's the direct quote. "We really believe this is the best model for all of Destiny 2's cooperative and competitive experience. We believe this is the best model for D2. And like, I read that and I wanted to be like,
objection.
Really? The best model? Like, again, I don't know much about how it works, but like, really? Like, that's all just a question mark. I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I've heard the word on the street, and it's that dedicated servers are kind of the bee's knees. Mm-hmm. And people don't generally like peer-to-peer. And yet we have, so it's like, it's not completely peer-to-peer. It's a hybrid, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, that sounds cool. It's a hybrid, meaning it has maybe the best of both worlds. And then the interview went on. They were like, it's kind of the same system we used in D1. I was like, okay, whoa. You're losing me a little bit here.
Hold it there.
Because we're not super thrilled about how things are going in D1 with that system.
Yeah.
And, kind of an interesting situation going on right now.
That's a good point, Fallout, man. Yeah, that, you know, that's exactly... And there's no harm in being critical.
No, no harm.
You know, like, but if you want to be a friend to Bungie, then you got to bash them every now and again, haven't you? you have to analyze this kind of stuff and provide, you know, good, healthy, you know, non-censored feedback. And we've had some great games in D1 with the system. We've had some awful, you know, awful experiences. So, again, for me personally, because it's coming out on PC, it's going to be exposed to the PC critics. We're going to have people like Total Biscuit on the case. We're going to have people like Battle Nonsense on the case. If you've watched any of Battle Nonsense, just Google this guy. He's a German guy who invests a lot of time and science into testing netcodes for games. And
I like him already.
Specifically,
He's really, really good at this, and he's a big friend to a lot of developers, in particular DICE as well. Like, but he's very, very critical to the systems in place. Like, he's also quite an advocate of having good, flexible, and snappy netcodes. So it's going to be analyzed to hell by people like this.
Good.
And we will have a very, very good idea of what is occurring. And if there are areas of improvements that that are realistic for developers to take on and help to improve the situation. Because there's an awful lot like, oh my God, peer-to-peer, that means we're going to be DDoSed in trials and things like that and on PC, and that's going to be really bad and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, very probably. I don't know. But the thing is, I want to actually play it. I want to play it. I want to experience it
for
myself.
That's going to be the bottom line, You always got to wait for the bottom line.
Yeah.
One thing, I'm glad you brought up story, because they were like, well, don't worry. Well, I don't know if they said don't worry, but they're like, hey, we're changing how it works because we want it to focus more on connection quality. That's a thing they said recently about how it works. And at first I was like, well, good. That's good. We want to focus more on connection quality. And then I was like, wait a minute. Not to like pee in the punch bowl at all, but like, haven't we heard this before?
Yeah.
Like, haven't there been updates in the past couple months where like, don't worry, guys, we're reevaluating the Crucible matchmaking system. We're making it focus more on connection quality. And we're like, oh, great. And then on the podcast, Story comes in and he's like, I just had the worst fucking Iron Banner Red Bar experience. It's like, again, I'm not saying that they're full of shit. I'm not saying that they're bad or lying or deceptive or that it's not going to work, obviously, because we haven't gotten our hands on it. And you can always reserve final judgment until you play. But there's just the part of me that's like, haven't we kind of heard this before a little bit? Fingers crossed for the best.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I don't want to overhype, you know, or be too critical. Yeah. The thing is that we need to try this out and see what it's like. You know, absolutely. Like, I mean, it's not like I haven't got loads of concerns. One of my major concerns is matchmaking going to be more sensible for the rest of the world this time around? Or is it going to be, you know, dry tested on US soil only? So that means over in Europe, we're going to have to put up with these insane matches. I played Fiji the other day. You know, on stream, I'm like, guys, we're playing Fiji. Like, there was two players in Fiji. There was, I don't know, a handful of players in Europe. And then the rest was Australia. And guess who had host? Fiji. I'm like, why am I in this lobby? And it's like, I know exactly why I'm in this lobby. Because the past three games, we'd literally, you know, papped upon everybody. We're on a win streak. So now we were challenged with people of a, you know, a different skill set because we were on a win streak. And that I really do. I mean, that's more of my focus of attention than on the connectivity methods, you know, the networking methods, because I've seen peer-to-peer work faultlessly and incredibly efficiently. And I've also played for years on dedicated servers and put my mouse in my mouth and bit it in half because some dude with 900 ping is topping the scoreboards and lagging the whole lobby out, the whole server out. So it's dedicated servers aren't the be-all, end-all solution. They just improve things like across the board. You know,
they kind of level the playing field.
It like levels the playing field. And you have, I think the prediction engines are going to be a lot more tight for dedicated servers. However, if you've got someone connecting to, you know, to your server or your game from Jupiter, you know, on an alien technology and has like a 4 billion ping, it's still...
It's the Vex.
Yeah, you're literally playing the Vex with his own Mythoclast. But it's still going to be frustrating because, you know, there has to be a degree of compensation. So they end up, you know, and it's not a great experience for them either, you know. So tough one. But like, we're going to have to get our hands on this one and give it a play. But there is going to be no hiding the system on PC. It's going to literally be tested to within an inch of its life, and we're going to get all the details on how it works. You're just going to have to give people some
more information.
Time
is better.
Take it apart bit by bit. Lift up that rock, show me the bugs. Crawling that all around under that rock, baby. Show it to
us. And it doesn't mean, oh well, Bungie are going to get exposed for lying to us. It's like, no. Basically, if these people are going to help, if there are areas of improvement, if there is a problem that maybe have been, you know, not noticed or whatever, it's just going to put it in the spotlight and it's going to make it easier for Bungie to fix it or draw attention to it. You know, like tick rates, all of the technical stuff.
That's what
stuff,
I was going to say. You know, I was going to say one of peer-to-peer connections can certainly work when, you know, everybody's got a decent connection. But one of the biggest issues with Destiny's connection right now is its tick rate. If I'm recalling correctly, and if I'm incorrect, I hope somebody in chat can speak up on it. But I think Destiny's tick rate is like 10 hertz, which means it sends about 10 updates to the server every 10 updates to the server every second, or about every 100 milliseconds. Games like Overwatch have a 60 tick rate.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
and that's I was just about to ask you for a comparison.
Yeah, that's on console. But there's to be fair to the Bungie released a statement with this week at Bungie that tried to shine a light on matchmaking woes and people's perceptions of stuff. They discussed that it was a 30 hertz rate for the interaction between players and 10 hertz for picking up ammo and the heavy and all things like that. However, anyone who's played a 10 hertz game before can pretty much smack the gavel down on the platform that it feels like 10 hertz. Like, whichever way we look at it when we're playing, the amount of trades, the amount of weird character misalignments and positionings and things like that, it feels like the update rate is insanely low.
Talking to the server, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even a 30 hertz tick rate on PC isn't going to fly. It's going to be criticized, you know, very negatively. So, again, we won't know any of this stuff until it's out there and it can be tested. But yeah, tick rate is, although I don't personally understand everything behind it, I know that it's how snappy and how responsive a game can feel, your interactions with other players. But then again, it's not just the tick rate, it's the prediction. There is always a degree of prediction in an FPS game, in any kind of online multiplayer, lag compensations and things like that. There is a degree of that as well. And then frame rates. People misunderestimate how snappy and responsive a game feels, you know, and frame rate has a lot to do with that as well.
Sure.
Well, tick rate is important because it's basically updating the server, like I said, 10 times a second with what you're doing right then. And you're exactly right. It's the reason why you get trades and stuff where you'll melee somebody, they'll die, and then their ghost melees you and you die.
Yeah.
It's why you trade so often in Destiny because, you know, whenever there's any sort of packet loss, those updates get sent later than they should be. And it winds up in an unfortunate situation where you have two ghosts just looking at each other like, what happened?
Mm-hmm. I got meleeed by a corpse. That's what happened.
I hit you first.
That's what happened.
Doesn't matter. Game got updated at the same time.
I was cross-map meleeed by a Stormcaller's melee. Yeah. That, we've all had that one, haven't we, at some point? That's probably one of the most clipped things that I've seen this year.
Yeah,
people
probably
being cross-mapped by a Thundersnipe. You know.
So when they say that they've worked with their network infrastructure, that's one of the things that I hope at least sees a little bit of a bump up.
Yeah.
Because the tick rate is kind of like the hidden thing that not a lot of people know about that impacts the way you play in a huge manner. I'm not saying it has to be bumped up to 60. The game doesn't play at 60 FPS. I don't really know how well that would work out in and of itself, but you could probably bump at least the world space tick rate for ammo and stuff up from 10. 10's a little low.
All of that needs an overhaul. You know, we need something that's a lot more responsive, but I think a lot of that comes from the competitive standpoint. As competitive players, we want 60 FPS. We want a really responsive, feel to the game. And it's like, even though we might not be technically versed on the inner workings and mechanics of game development, we know how a game feels. And a lot of the time, when we're playing in PvP, it can just feel very, unresponsive. We can have a lot of, bullshit happening, and it can add to the frustration factor. And what amplifies the frustration factor is Destiny PvP is probably with some of the best PvP around, current meta aside. The core of the PvP, the classes, the weapons that we have, the strategies, the game modes, Trials of Osiris, it's an immensely intense and addictive and very fulfilling PvP. So we want it to be the best that it can be. But it does come down to how competitive are we? How important is the competitive scene for us and for Bungie and things like that? And I think one outlying thing that I've had from the reveal, from the interviews with Mark Noseworthy and Luke Smith, is that the competitive side of things aren't on the bullseye radar. They're focusing on what Destiny is at its core, a social looter shooter, and it foremost will be that. And if I'm going to highlight all of the great experiences that I've had over the years, it's going to, the top three is meeting new people, sharing raids and Trials of Osiris and games like that with people. And the emphasis is clearly on that. Competitive scene, not so much in my opinion. And this seems to be the trend. It doesn't seem like the competitive side is really high up on the radar, at least for the launch, because we're missing private matches,
That's what I was going to say. That came out a few days ago that, in a really curious move, they confirmed that private games are not going to be available on launch, which I think, I'm sure they have their reasons. Maybe they're making something bigger. My dream is that they're making a big Forge mode style thing and it's just not ready right now. But it's like, we waited 3 years for that. It was one of the number one. No, Fallout, don't call. Stop it. Get some help. But It's like we waited 3 years nearly for that, and it was one of the number one, if not the number one most requested thing for a lot of the PvP community since Destiny came out. And like, for it to not be available in any sort of rudimentary mode from launch, it's just it's like,
I'll say it. What the fuck? What the fuck, Bungie? I mean, like,
that's it.
Mm-hmm. We don't. We can't peek behind the curtain. Hopefully, they give us like a glimpse onto their grand plan of like, oh yeah, you know, it'd be great if they were like, oh yeah, Forge mode is coming or Theater mode is coming. Like, just putting all these Halo references out there. Yeah. But like, like I can't just sit here with a smile on my face, like, oh, it's okay. They're
it's fine.
Working on it. Like, just like, come on, man. Like, it's modern. It's like how Story was talking about, you know, 60 FPS could easily be referred to as like the modern frame right now, because it's where we are in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, you're gonna release a game without custom modes. And again, I say this with every, you know, oh, we love Bungie, all that. Every time I bring up a criticism, all that first, okay? But like, come on, you're gonna put out the game with no private matches after we like were so vocal about it in D1.
Yeah.
So vocal. Like every time there was a community wish list and they're like, hey, we're just checking to see what you guys have on your community list. Custom games. Yeah. Damn it.
Always at the top.
Like top. And then they finally gave it to us and we were like, thank you. Thank you. It made so many things way easier. And now it's like, oh, by the way, you know, D2's not launching with custom games. It's like, you gotta be fucking kidding me with
what
this.
What do you mean?
I'll never forget.
What do you mean?
I'll never forget being at Gamescom and like being in the live stream team and having that opportunity being there to release the information to the world and being part of that and actually hearing the developers talk about the absence of private matches before it was introduced. And I'll never forget what Lars Bakken said was, I used to watch a lot of the competitive PvP streams, and myself, I was embarrassed to watch them doing the searching eval thing. So
for hours.
Being able to introduce custom games now, I am very, very happy, and I'm very proud to have that off my chest kind of thing, you know. And now we're going backwards on that, but I don't know, maybe they looked at the percentage of how much custom games are being used and as diverting resources for the launch. Maybe there were areas that it's like, okay, we've got 5% of the community is using custom games at the moment, because they'll have that data. So when it comes down to prioritizing stuff, it may have been that because the number is so small of how much custom games are getting used, that for launch, it might not have been, you know, on the list of
that's entirely possible. You know what I mean? They it's might possible. Have had a table that's only this big, and they're like, okay, we have all these things that we need to put on the table, but we have too many things for the table. We have to prioritize how many things we can put on the table. Yeah. It's like, well, let's look at how much private matches are actually being used. It's like that much, maybe it's not going to be on the table, but like, it just makes me sad.
Yeah, still,
because we still want it.
But my thought was, soon as they noticed that, I'm like, how am I going to get my like cinematics for my vids done now? Like, that's where I went to not get
weapon
shot
testing.
By ads. I went into private games, not my tournaments and things like that. I didn't think that straight away. So.
Yeah.
It's definitely annoying.
But, I mean, how long are we going to be waiting? That's another thing. Like, it might not be that long. It could be within the first DLCs. We have no idea, but I think it's fair to say that they are coming. There's no way that they will completely disclude them for D2. You know?
Knock on wood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? We've done 30 FPS. We've
what
done
else do we
dedicated
what else
servers.
Can we complain about?
We've done.
Oh, I've got a complaint.
Yeah,
I've got one.
You got one?
And this is, I guess, something I'll ask Fallout, since he's our man with the plan who had hands on there. So we talked a bit last week about the changes to the weapon system, how you've got your two primaries, your kinetics, your elemental, and you've got your power weapons. And of course, as everybody knows, certain weapons that were one-shot kill specials were moved from that over to the power weapon slot. And it works pretty darn well in PvP. You know, it's kind of, I'll never let the meme go. You can't have a special weapon economy problem if you don't have a special weapon economy. So I think that works really well for PvP, making people choose between, you know, what kind of one-shot kill weapon they want to have. A sniper, shotgun, a fusion rifle, I don't think really many people are going to use fusion rifles. A grenade launcher, a rocket launcher, which maybe that's a whole other thing that I want to talk about. Fusion rifles, what does this do to them since they're probably going to be the worst of the one-shot weapons? But how does that affect PvE? Because in PvE now, you can't go in there with, say, a hand cannon or a scout rifle, sniper rifle, rocket launcher combo. In in-game PvE, you're going to have to choose between using a sniper rifle and a rocket launcher for damage. You're going to have to choose between something like a shotgun or a sword, if swords are coming back in that sort of capacity. Mm-hmm. And I haven't really seen many people bring that up. And as a PvE guy, that kind of concerns me because thinking about going into like an in-game raid and not having a sniper rifle rocket launcher combination for big damage on a boss, that worries me. That's got me spooked.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, hopefully it works out better. I mean, maybe you'll get more ammo in general when you're going into PvE.
They'll make
it a little bit more plentiful. Also, hopefully we get to keep those special burns that we get on the Nightfall, you know, more frequently, because you have the kinetic primary, but hey, you get an elemental primary too, and like you can switch that up maybe a little bit. I don't know. That's a good question, though. I've never actually thought about it in that capacity.
I mean, kept me up at night.
Did you play? Because I know your focus when you were there was to try and soak up as much PvP as possible.
Yeah,
but
did
you play much PvE?
Sure, I played some PvE. I played the first campaign mission. That's what I did.
Was there more? I don't suppose in the campaign missions they might not be showering you in power ammo. But my initial thought would be, well, power ammo would be a lot more accessible and more frequent in PvE.
It was more frequent. I can't comment specifically just because I can't remember about how frequent. It definitely was more frequent, though.
Yeah. Because if you get lots of the ammo for PvE, then, you know, but good call, Link, on the talking about the fact that you have to choose between a sniper and a rocket for damage, because that's going to really kind of influence the initiation on boss fights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But wasn't that always a big criticism from the PvE elite that it was too easy? And I think having heavy weapons of that kind of types also contributed to, you know, like distributing damage on a much more higher scale. So,
I mean, I think that was only really ever super, like a super problem in year one, because you just had the unquestionable optimal loadout of like Fatebringer, Black Hammer, and Yellerhorn, which was just like this ludicrous perfect combination that there was no reason to use any other sort of setup. But now, you know, I mean, I can imagine the payoff there would be like if you get a bunch of shots with the sniper rifle now, if everything gets 50 rounds like the Queenie does with a sniper, that might give you incentive to pick that over a rocket launcher. It was just something I didn't really know the answer to, because it's a big change. That's a big change going for PvE from Destiny 1 to Destiny 2, and I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play.
Yeah.
We'll see, though.
I just want it now. Beta, please.
That would help. That'd be nice.
The funniest part is that even with all the criticisms and all the potential worries and whatever, everybody just wants to play the beta.
Yeah,
I
want to play.
That's all we want. We just want to play the beta.
Yeah,
play
but that no matter the concerns, the areas that we found both like incredibly exciting and we're enthusiastic about, and the things that we've been disappointed about, all the news that we've had over the last couple of weeks and since the reveal, bottom line is that we played D1 for 3 years and it's been our favorite game for 3 years. There's no way on earth Bungie are going to have a second-rate experience to what we've experienced for the past 3 years. I have every confidence in them literally hitting the bullseye with this game. Of course, there are going to be negative elements. There are going to be things that disappoint. But bottom line is, give me the game now. Stop messing around. Stop denying me a chance to get on the dong blade and start carving things up.
I want
up.
It. Yeah, dude. I want it.
I want it all.
Still no word on that beta, man. Still no word on the beta. They mentioned that in
We do need to mention it. There was... it's not a leak, but apparently one of the trailer thingies from the reveal event had a glimmer amount that could pertain to the 7th of July 2017, and then there was another number that pertains to the 8th of September.
Yeah. The numbers, Mason. What do they mean?
7/7/17 That's like the ultimate bungee day. There, I would if we were in a casino and we and I was a betting man, I would put all my chips on that.
Yeah, man.
7/17
I'd put money on it. Yeah.
Take
maybe.
That day off work, everybody. The entire world is not going to be working on the 17th of June.
Just based on what Story's saying here, just take
when's
the day
E3?
Off.
Is it like June, second week of June?
It's the second week of June. I think it's right it starts like on the second Saturday of June.
Yeah.
And then goes through.
They're going to come out with a big presentation and they're going to be like, there's the whole Bungie spiel. Oh, and by the way, you want to hop on that beta? Boom. And then the big screen behind them is going to be like 7/7/17 I'm fucking calling it right now. That's exactly how it's going to go down. It's going to be a big white number on a black screen. Those colors, exactly, mind you.
Yeah, man. Yep.
When it happens, you can tell them Fallout new the whole time.
Do you know what? Something else I'm going to call right here, right now, and I could get flamed for it. No PC beta.
Yeah,
I'm calling
this
that's
going to happen.
That might be true. Yeah,
I get a really bad feeling that's going to be what happens. It's just going to be like beta available on Bungie Day for PS4 and Xbox One.
But
PC beta TBD.
Hope I'm wrong about that one, but my inner workings are like not happening. But anyway, playing it, just playing it on anything. Please, just to get a taste.
You just give it a
taste, man. You got?
I'll play it on
that.
The microwave.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll have it. Should we open things up for questions? I'm sure everyone in the chat is dying to get their questions in. So
yeah, give us some questions for things you guys are worried about. That's what I want to see. Some of the concerns you guys have.
If there's anything that you feel like we missed, that we should chew on as well. I mean, there's a lot of gripes. You know, if you pay attention to Reddit and Twitter, there's all kinds of gripes. Beards. This is something that really does, like, shock me how angry some folk are about the apparent lack of beards in the game.
They're mad. Yeah.
I mean, I can't judge because I have my own hang-ups. Like, really? Beards?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I don't have one.
Yeah.
I don't understand. You can
never have one unless you get a transplant.
I'm not getting. I'm gonna take Pope Bears at GuardianCon. That's not a joke. If you're going to GuardianCon or watching GuardianCon, remember I'm going to be wearing Pope's real beard that he will be shaving off and putting on my face.
That's gross.
It's gonna be an interesting day.
I want a picture. I will frame it and put it in my living room. Here's one from the Right Honourable Battle Jitney. What's the most likely platform on which Fallout can carry me to whatever the new lighthouse will be?
PlayStation 4.
Really?
If you're building a PC, you'll be able to do both without a shadow of a doubt.
Maybe. But he said most comfortable, though, didn't he?
True.
Okay.
Yeah. You're playing with me on PC. I'm going to be there.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah. It's a lie.
Absolutely. We're going to have the dream team set up for the whole
dream team, baby.
Do you feel PvP is going towards a too competitive side with the 4v4? What about the 6v6 casual players? That's from Brando Card. I always personally felt that 6v6 was too much for Destiny with all the powers and abilities and weapon choices and strats and stuff like that. And we've said like earlier on that what my suspicion is that competitive is not a focus, but then Bungie pulled that 4v4 and then they pull out a mode like Countdown and it's like, wow. And then the new weapon restructuring and the slowing down of the pace and the time to kills, that really does push the competitive scene. So that's a really good... you know, again, we're going to have to get our hands on it to play it. But I think, personally, 4v4, I think, is a great movement forward for the game.
Good call.
I'm pretty sure that eventually they're going to have, like, a big team battle sort of mode that'll be 6v6. But ultimately, the move to 4v4, it was fueled by a few different things. One, they were able to kind of more streamline some of the PvP maps. You see that a lot of them are built around specific game modes. Like the map that was on display there was built for the Countdown game mode. It was a structured map, and Fallout, you have the most experience here with the Destiny 2 PvP. How did 4v4 play?
It was fun. I kind of wish we had the ability to play on a different game type. Yeah. Other than, I mean, it was still fun, Countdown. Yeah. But, like, I wanted to, like, really explore what the new 4v4 had to offer. It was really enjoyable. I mean, a lot of primary focus. Felt more team-based. Less out of control. But there is a little part of me that is upset that it's like, oh, it's only 4v4 now. There's no big team battle. Because even though it's like, yeah, it could get out of control.
Little bit.
With how D2 works now, like, supers are charged slower. And the power, weapon, ammo is, like, much more controlled. I think they could have gotten away with a big team battle game type. And I think it could have gone really well.
It might still be a thing. This could actually be a thing.
Maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed. I think it would be great. But
yeah.
And, you know, 6v6, though, it'll probably be like the return of combined arms or something like that. Since we're getting tanks now. Guardian tanks, baby.
Exactly. Oh, that promotes that big time.
That might be the 6v6 mode now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a good question from Graf.
Yeah,
thoughts on Bungie abandoning Grimoire?
Yeah, great question. I think if they're integrating more story into the, like, interactive part of the gameplay, like actually following it in game, that's a really good thing, because basically it's a response to criticism of hiding the game story in cards that need to be read on Bungie.net or, you know, things like that. So
yeah,
like, if the story's in the game, great.
Yeah.
It's there. It's accessible, you know? Like,
I've heard almost no complaining about the removal of Grimoire. I'm not trying to take shots at anybody in the community. I love our community to death, and there's wonderful people in it. And it's just like the only people who I've heard complain about the removal of Grimoire are content creators who focus on creating content around Grimoire. Now, granted, for them, that probably sucks.
Yeah,
but
because they were bloody good at it. I mean, we all know Bungie can't make a game.
You're a champ, Bife. Love you, bro.
Bife, come on. People still love you, bro. And as long as there's lore and story and interesting things in the game, it's not going to matter that there's no Grimoire, because people are still going to come to the content creators channel anyway, because they make great content.
I still want to learn.
Yeah, no, I still want to learn about the lore. Even if it's in the game, I'm probably going to be too focused on other things to do, like, a deep dive. It's still going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And it was just really irritating for the average player. Because, like, I told the story earlier. My brother came into my party chat, and he had, like, read up all about the history of Thorn and the Last Word. And it was, like, he was so hyped about it. And he was telling me the story. And I hadn't heard the story. And I was, like, listening to him. I was like, yes, what happened then? You know what I mean? And it's cool that there's so much story in the game, but it's a crime that it's, like, locked away in this weird...
Outside of it.
Yeah, why? Just take that information and put it in the game. Yeah. And it'll, like, it's great. We're gravy. Who would complain?
That's ultimately what I'm hoping that they're doing. Because there's a lot of, you know, despite the jokes you can make about Destiny not having a story, there's a lot of lore in it. There's a ton of lore and backstory to the world and all of the characters in it. And when they say that there's not going to be any Grimoire, they didn't really explain too much. What I'm hoping that means is just that it's going to be in the game this time. Mm-hmm. Like, there will be some way, some aspect of it there in the game for you to go and learn about the history of this world and the characters. Because I'm a lore junkie. I know a ton of the Destiny lore because I love it. It's so well written. It's so good. And I can't really imagine they would just get rid of telling you those rich tales of the past.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that it's just in the game now. Bife, I feel you, dog. I feel you, man.
I know where you're coming from. They're not taking the richness out. They take way too much pride. Bungie takes way too much pride in including cool backstories and, like, you know, detailed tales of badass weapons and people and locations. It's going to be there.
Folks like Bife are not going to have any problems doing their magic in elaborating on the existing stories. You know, there are going to be many opportunities for him to, elaborate on the creativity. There's just too much there. He's too good at it, man. So whatever story there's he'll be able to sing the songs and create the same kind of music that he's been creating for, you know, all these years. I have no doubts that folks went along the lines of the law are still going to be able to do, you know, just as good a job, if not better. For sure. But, you know, that's what it is. It is what it is.
It is what it is.
What else we got here? I've lost the power to read.
Spontaneously. It happened.
I was up at 3:30. Triggerblade, I wanted both in-game lore and grimoire. I mean, is it 100% confirmed that that kind of assistant is going to be completely denied? You know,
like I said, I don't think they explained too much. They just said, like, the grimoire really as it is now. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's just not going to be the way it is now.
But you know someone's going to make, like, a wiki. You know what I mean? Planet Destiny will probably make a fucking wiki. Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, they took grimoire away? Well, guess what? We have all the important lore points, boom, organized right there on the website. Ryan, that's a great A idea. You can send me the check later. Just have the wiki right there on the PD website, baby. All the grimoire, all the lore, categorized for your enjoyment, for those of you sick motherfuckers at home who, for whatever reason, like your lore outside of the game in a separate fashion. How about that?
There you go.
I think there's so much there. There is so much there that including it on, you know, some kind of outlet on Bungie.net is to be expected in some way.
I'm sure.
Yeah, man.
No one's getting any less lore. Nobody.
You can keep your lore. It's gonna be there, I hope.
Yeah.
Looks like Dark Leviathan has a comment, not so much a question, but I thought it was interesting. He says, I fear that the new clan mechanics will lead to a split between groups of players that may see them as the top echelon and may form some toxic clans, as I have seen in games like Arma and N1Z1. Here's my statement on that. That's gonna happen anyway. That already happens.
Yeah, thank
there
you
are
for
already
saying that.
Toxic clans. Yeah. That's going to happen in any game with this sort of system. Now, relating that to the guided games, which is what I feel you were getting at there, thankfully with guided games, which for those who don't know, is going to be a new sort of extra matchmaking system that you can utilize to match up with clans that are looking for people to run in-game content. Stuff like Nightfalls, Trials, Raids. They'll be able to open up their clans for matchmaking in specific instances, and you can join them to get that stuff done. Thankfully, you can pick which, you know, group you want to join. So if you run into a clan called, I don't know, Yaller Cox Unite, and it says underneath the description, must have Yaller Horn to do this raid, you can skip them, move on to the next one that's running that same content, which I think is a brilliant way for them to have handled that, you know, perennial problem of Destiny. I think they said something like 50% of level 400 Guardians right now have never run a raid. Like, haven't run Wrath of the Machine or anything like that. And they
how many?
To kind of get to 50%.
Yeah.
Like, 50%.
For real?
It's that high.
50% of people who are 400, like, never got a chance to run raids. Huh. And that was certainly the case in year one, when so many people were forever 29. They just didn't have groups to run Vault of Glass or Crota's End it with. And having just straight-up matchmaking for that content, I don't know how well that would have worked, especially with how mechanics and teamwork focus some of those encounters got later on. I think this was probably a really good way to do it. This whole guided game system where clans can come together, say, hey, we want to pull people through content. Let's open up our clan and just let people come in and run stuff with us. I think it's a good change.
I wonder if there's anyone in the chat at the moment that's rushing to Bungie.net to create the clan Yalla Cox Unite.
Do it. Somebody do it.
It's a gift. You may have that one.
Show me on Yaller Twitter Cox that you Unite. Did it.
and then found that it already existed.
You know? It's owned by Mega Magwitch. What
is this guy?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, dear me.
Yeah.
Well, then, I think... Is there anything else that we should chew upon? Is there anything else we should chew upon? How'd you spell that? Well, it's with a G. It's definitely, Gajallercox.
Gajallercox. Gajallercox. Tune in next time on the Planet Destiny podcast, where we spend literally the entire episode listening to me complain about D2, how you still get pulled out of the menu when you're flying into the game. 90 minutes.
The worst thing. You know, that's actually something that the DCP crew was complaining about, too. Like, literally every few seconds, you're just ripped out of the menu. Come on.
To look at a loading screen.
Why? Yeah, no, like, that's the worst.
But there was a good point against that, that maybe that's just the inherent, you know, it's loading, but it's like, how can I get straight back in the menu again after I've been ripped out
right,
of it?
Yeah,
only
come
to be
on.
Pulled out again? I don't know.
Look, don't tell me. Look, again, I know I've never developed a game before. Never done it, never came close. But there's assumptions that come into, like, tweaking things. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, if
yeah.
someone were to be like, well, how hard could it be for Bungie to make a raid in, like, 7 days? We've never developed a game, but we'd probably be like, that's kind of a high bar, I would think in my head, right? Like, you just think that's a high bar. But, like, can we make it so that, like, you're not pulled out of the menu? Like, I don't think the average person would be like, whoa, whoa, slow down there, Stephen Hawking. Mm-hmm. Like, we're like, you might as well try and create a wormhole in your living room. Like,
and there's an inarguable way of looking at things like this. Like, you don't have to be a certified helicopter pilot to realize that a helicopter stuck in a tree is a faux pas on the pilot's behalf.
That is a
probably
great
not,
point, my friend.
Do you know, like, I see this criticism a lot. Well, we're not game developers, therefore we're not qualified to criticize. And it's like, but no, we're the customers.
We're the consumers.
Customers are famous for complaining about stuff.
Indeed they are.
And the customer complaint helps, you know, the guys that are creating the game to achieve a much more, you know, enlightened path of success. So it doesn't stop customers from being incredibly annoying and complaining about everything under the sun.
We can be constructive customers.
Yes, exactly.
Bungie, we love you, but I would like to speak to the manager, please.
Exactly.
Bring the manager out. This is important.
You don't have the right haircut for that, by the way.
My chicken wings are not crispy enough. How
I've
about
dropped
that?
My tendies all over the
Lord.
Floor.
Yeah. But yeah, there we go. That's it. I think we're done. I think we're done tonight. Tonight, this morning, this afternoon.
It's good enough.
Yeah, good times.
Six. All right, and Mega will return. Anyone that was incredibly heartbroken that Mega Magwitch couldn't make it tonight, and maybe Bones as well, of course, they
maybe
will return.
Maybe.
How about we do a, you guys do a sign-off, and I'll look for who we should raid on Twitch. How about that?
We'll do that.
Excellent.
So, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 121 of the Planet Destiny podcast, the one where we complain about a bunch of Destiny 2 things. But we do it out of love. It's out of love. Now, before we get on out of here, we are going to let you guys know where you can find us all across the internet and what we've got coming up, because we all have individual channels with individual content. Like this guy, Fallout. He makes guides and stuff, and he just had a couple of videos come out from Dawnblade. I was first to comment on one of them.
You were. You were first to comment. I was excited about that.
I watched the whole video because it was very entertaining.
Thank you.
It taught me a lot about the class that I know I'm going to be playing.
Absolutely.
But you got anything big coming up this week, man?
You're talking to me or story?
Talking to you.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Find me on youtube.com/falloutplays and twitch.tv/falloutplays. I swear on everything holy, I am so close to being partnered. I feel it in my bones. The Twitch numbers have been great, baby. Thank you all for your support. But check me out on YouTube, because this week I have a video coming out that we've been working so hard on. It is the top 10 best weapons in the history of Destiny. This video is literal visual sex. Check it out. Thank you very much. Story Machine, tell me where we can find you.
Well, you can come onto twitch.tv/story machine. It's spelled exactly how it's spelled down there. Make a note of that, because yes, that's how it's spelled. And if you spell it wrong, you're not going to find. And that's going to be heartbreaking. So come and say hello, because everything's been going very, very well on Twitch. We've been having an absolute barrel of laughs, and the comedy has been flowing like wines. And this video is also in the pipes as well. Got a Soros regime video for PD, because that's what you guys voted for on the PD Twitter. So, I'm doing it. A 3-year-old gun is being brought back into the spotlight again for yet another video. Nice. And a big thanks for all the folks that have been tuning in on Twitch. A funny video is also going to be popping up on my YouTube. But yes, there you go. You can find me right down there. Link, what about yourself, sir?
Right on. My name is The Black Link, and you can find me generally everywhere on the internet at The Black Link. Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all at The Black Link. Spelled the way it sounds, no spaces. I should be easy to find. This week, let's see. We've got some stuff coming out. We've got our usual streams on PD, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I have a discussion video furthering a talk I've been having on Destiny 2 and just everything we've learned, how I feel about some of that kind of stuff. The next episode of that is going to be coming out tomorrow, and we might have a special surprise coming out at some point in time this week. I'm not going to tell you when, because I want you to watch every day until it shows up. That's how I hook you. But all right, that is pretty much going to be it, guys. Thanks so much again for watching episode 121 of the Planet Destiny podcast, and we'll catch you all next week.